Good morning. Like he said, my name is Jacob, and this is my wife, Ryan. And somehow, I ended up a missionary. So, how that started was we found out about this organization called Youth with a Mission, where their main goal is to send young people all across the world by doing something called a DTS, or Discipleship Training School. And so that's what we did. That's what Sakna did as well. And we left last April to Hawaii, which may sound a little oxymoronic, and the second hardest season of our lives. So we spent 3 months in Hawaii being trained up to go to a country that we didn't know where we were going to go. Spent 3 months there, and then we ended up going to the country of Mongolia. And if you don't know anything about Mongolia, I sent DJ a couple pictures. There it is. So Mongolia is tucked right in between China and Russia, and there's about 3.3 million people in this massive country, and half of them live in that red school. Spent half of our time there in this big city, and we spent the other half in the countryside. In the country, there is, what is it, less than 1% Christian, something 2%, less than 2% Christian, which is about 40, 50,000-ish people that are Christian, that know Jesus. And so it's very, 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 very unreached. And so we got the honor to go and share about Jesus and how he died for their sins as well, not just ours, not just people of Europe, nomadic people who move from season to season as their animals move. They move with them. So their houses are very, like, small, very portable, and that's just how they live. That's how they know everything. So if you'll go to that next slide, DJ, there should be another picture. Here is our team of 10 of us and our translators that went and served this family in the middle. We just helped them farm their sheep and their goats, and we helped them develop a culture of, actually had heard of Jesus before, praise God for that, which is another story for another time, but we got to deepen their relationship with him and teach them to study and teach them to actually hold church on a weekly basis. And as of 2 weeks ago, they are still holding church to this day. So praise God for that. Us 10 went and served them for a month, and it was the hardest thing we will probably ever do. We had absolutely nothing, and it was great. Praise God. It's like in that side of Mongolia. That building is called a gur, which is just a yurt, basically, and that's what they hold church in. That's what they live in. That's what they eat in. That's what they cook in, is one room, and they just meet every week. They'll eat lamb and rice, and then they'll just talk about the Lord, share testimony, and all that. So that was fantastic, and there's a lot of relational ministry. We distributed Bibles because not a lot of people have them, and that's where we met our dear friend Satna. So she had the privilege of helping us distribute Bibles to local areas that don't have any. So we'd go, like, door-to-door selling, basically, these Bibles, try to share with them, just teach them about Jesus and, like, show them how good. And so, on that and relational ministry, which is my favorite part of ministry, where you meet people, and instead of just, like, sharing with them for 5 minutes and then walking away, you, like, love on them and be their friend and hang out with them and show them the love of Christ each time you meet with them. So that was my favorite part. And share a testimony from our second half in Mongolia.
Yeah. Is this working? Okay. So I'm just going to share a quick testimony. It's really dear to me because it was, like, the first time I ever shared the gospel. But basically, me and Jacob went street evangelizing one day, and we met this 17-year-old who spoke really, really good English. And it's really hard talking with him, having a conversation, and immediately we're just bonding with him. And during our conversation, Jacob goes, "Hey, man, have you ever heard of Jesus?" And he was like, "Yeah, I've heard of Jesus, but I don't really know anything about him. Like, I'm a Buddhist. Like, my dad's a Buddhist monk, so that's all I really know about." So I was like, well, can I share with you? I've never heard of that, but I really want to hear. And I was like, okay, great. I share the gospel with him. When I tell you he is locked in, his eyes do not move and his mouth is like wide open the whole time. I finished sharing with him and he kept saying over and over, I'm speechless. I'm speechless. I've never heard anything like this before. And we were both just like, we just continue to like talk with him and love on him and share like little tidbits of what it looks like to follow Jesus. And that it's a relationship. Like you can pray to him and he hears you and he'll talk back to you and all the things. So yeah, we both really felt to not push, but to just let him breathe and just be his friend. So over the course of the next couple weeks, we really like built a solid friendship with this kid's birthday, and he really wanted to spend his birthday with us and let us celebrate his birthday with him. So that morning I had prayed and I was like, Lord, give me a word for him. And the Lord gave me like a long letter to write to him. So I wrote him this letter. So we go and we spend this day with him. And at the end, it's our last time hanging out with him because we're leaving Mongolia the next day. And we were sitting in this coffee shop just talking. And like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do it. And so I was like, so what do you think about following Jesus? And he said, you know, ever since y'all shared with me about who Jesus is a while back, like I've been trying to pray to God, but I haven't heard anything. And I was like, well, do you want to hear him right now? And he was like, yeah, to hear God's voice. And he was like, okay. And I was like, we're going to pray for you. We're going to leave some silence for you to listen to God. And then he's going to speak to you. I just know he's going to speak to you. I want you to ask God what he loves about you. And he was like, okay. So we pray for him. And about 5 seconds into the silence, this kid goes, and I was like, what did he say? Like, I want to know what he said. And he was like, God told me that, like, I'm such a great friend and that I'm a really good communicator, and he just really loves that about me. And I was like, you're not going to believe this. I pull out this letter that I had written that morning, and the first sentence was, God told me you love people really well. You're such a great friend. And so he freaks out. He's, like, jumping up from his chair. He's like, oh, my gosh, God is real, like, this is crazy. God knows me. God sees me. And I was like, so what do you think? He was like, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Yeah. 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 It was like the coolest experience of my life. And God just really loves Mongolia. And I'm like so reached. And for their hearts to be one for the Lord. So yeah. It's my honor and privilege to introduce to you guys our good friend Sathna. She's from Mongolia and she's a missionary. So,
okay, Sathna is from Mongolia. She'll be leaving here not too long, but she has never been to an American church, so I took her in as a member, and she now belongs to this church. So she is going to tell you some things.
Now. Okay, it's working. Good morning. I'm just so excited to pop and all of you guys so much. Thank you for having me here. Thank you for just like, yeah, welcoming me with an open arm and just, yeah, pouring out your heart to me. I just want to shout out my friends Ryan and Jacob one more time. Thank you for just like having me for 17 years. I was like, I don't even know where Alabama is. Okay, I guess I'm going, but I really love this town very much. So my name is Sathna. I'm going to say my last name. It's really hard, but it's Nimshaug, and my parents are one of the first Christians in Mongolia. So to be born and raised in a Christian family, because it's not a common thing in Mongolia. Like, my friends, even my friends, I think there's just like two or three of them are Christians and the rest is Buddhist. So it's a really like unreached country. And I want to show some pictures of my parents when they were really young. So this, I'm 95, something like that. So these are the first Christians in Mongolia. And my mom was only 19 when she first accepted Jesus as Lord and her Savior. And my dad was left them to decide to follow Jesus, because like every single person, every like their parents, their relatives were against it, because they saw Jesus as like a Western God. So even now there's so much conflict, because they don't even know what I'm doing here. Because when I tell them I'm doing mission, they'd be like, why you're not in college? Why are you doing this? It's a really like a different thing. And she went to a really remote place in Mongolia when she was only 19. She would just ride horse and just go with her friends, which is, I guess, that's why I'm here. Like, her blood runs in my like vein. That's why I'm like doing all of this. And my dad was one of the first pastor in Mongolia, and he even went to Afghanistan to share the gospel. And it was just, it's such an honor to have these, I'll be able to find if I was born in a Buddhist family. And so the girl who's laughing with her blue jacket is my mom, and she was probably like 21. And she's like, she's the reason why I decided to do mission, because her heart was burning so much for the people who don't. There's so many people who doesn't know about Jesus in this world. And so my mom passed away when I was 5, unfortunately. But I know that she loves me. I know that she's like with me wherever I go. It's like, it's hard, but I know that she's with me. And I think that's the reason why I like. After my mom passed away, it was really hard for us, the family, because I have 4 siblings, including me, it's 5 of us, and we were all really young, and my dad was left with 5 children under, like, my stepmother, and they got married after 4 years, and now I have 8 more siblings, and it's a really big family. Like, I would not have that many children. But in 2018, we went to Sweden as a missionary family, and we lived there for 3 years. And it was a country where it's like people like this country is considered as a rich nation. And to see like, whoa, even though this country is rich, people doesn't about they don't know about God. They know God as like a religion, not as relationship God. And it was just, it broke my heart, because like all of these beautiful things that God did for us, and that they didn't know that. And so when I was in Sweden, I was only 15, I think. That's where I got the calling to go to a mission. All I wanted was just graduate high school as soon as possible and do a mission. Like, I was like, can I drop out of high school and go do mission? They'd be like, graduate your high school first and then you can go. So after, and then we moved back to our country, and I applied for DTS like Ryan and Jacob did. And it was really hard for me to go to Hawaii, because it's so far, it's so expensive, everything was really hard, but I just felt like God was like inviting me to something that I didn't know, something unknown, something like to go there. And I applied for a visa, because as Mongolian, I can't go to U.S. without a visa, and it's really hard to get one. And I was just praying, God, if it's your will, I know that you're going to provide, I know that you're going to make a way, just like you did for the rest of my life. And I applied, and I got 10 years of visa. Everyone was freaking out, because, you know, like really, really hard. But it was just like another way of God telling me, like, I want you to be there, and I'm going to make a way for you to be there. So I was just like, God, I don't know, but I will follow you. And this Bible verse kept me really kind of lost. And it's Proverbs 16, verse 9. And it says, in their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord established their steps. So I applied for the DTS, I got my visa, but I still needed to raise $10,000. And it was so much. Like, I'm only 19, I've been off to go to Kona, Hawaii. So I saved as much as I could. I saved $2,000, and my parents bought my ticket, and I was not even fully funded, but I was like, God, I'm just going to go there. I hope they're not going to send me back. And I went there, and it was just amazing to see how young people love God. And I was just like, it was so hard because my friends were not really into mission as much as I was. So I always felt like I was the only one. But when I moved to Kona, Hawaii, it was just like a bunch of international kids all from all over the countries. They were burning for God. They were burning to know more, to just like be determined by this world, to not be determined by our flesh and everything that's going on here. And I want to show the video. So when I was in Kona, there were 700 people from 33 countries. And in this video, as you can see, there's just... So there were 33 nations in Kona, and it was just like, oh my God, I was really shocked because I lived in Sweden, but I never really like met this many people, like in awe of God. And the next picture will be me running with my Mongolian flag. And so I was the only Mongolian in Kona, and it made me feel like, wow, God really chose me from my country to be here. Despite my mistake, but God really chose me out of my obedience, and I was just like, oh my goodness, God really chose me, and it was just like, wow. And this is a picture of... I don't think you can see a lot, but this is a picture of me sharing the gospel in Brazil, in Kona, Hawaii, and I learned so much about God. I like grew much in faith because it was so hard to be able to hear God's voice when I was back in Mongolia. I didn't know how, and I was not really sure who to ask, where to go, but I knew that there was more. I knew that there was more to know, more to just even feel God in Kona, Hawaii, and even in Brazil. So in Brazil is a really big country as well. And like, everywhere I go, I would be the first Mongolian that people would meet, even in Kona, even in Brazil. And I was like, whoa, I'm starting something new. I'm pioneering something new. Whatever I go for God, they were just so hungry. Like, I never met anyone, any country that was just like burning for God as much as Brazilians did. And they were so I went to a conference, and it's a Japanese conference, so I was not expecting to meet a Japanese person in Brazil, or fourth generation of Japanese people who first immigrated to Brazil, and now there are like Japanese Brazilian, and they were just so hungry for God. And I was like, whoa, because Japan is also one of the unreached countries. They have less than 1% of Christians. And just like in Brazil, like, I'm Mongolian. I was like, whoa, this was like the coolest thing ever. It was just, and it was so cool and really like different to be able to share in front of Japanese people and even other people. Was just like, wow. It's just like, God is so more than what we think. God deserves more than what we just could ever like imagine. And so when I first when I first decided to be a missionary, there were so many feedbacks from my relatives, from my friends, because Christians, so they were telling me, like, so you should do college, like, you should go to university, you're done with your high school, and it was just like, should I pursue God, or should I pursue my desire? And, like, it was really hard, because all of these people would keep telling me, like, what are you doing, you should go and do college. Deep down that there's, like, more to know God, and, like, I just wanted to know God before being a real adult. I just wanted to know God more so that I would not end up being like lukewarm Christian. Cause that's what's happening right now. Everywhere I go, people just, they would go to church, but they would like, because the darkness is so strong, and when you don't know God, and when you go to college, you just fall into so many pieces, and you just, you know, it's really hard. So I knew what was happening, and even, like, my two own sisters were being like that. I can't just, you know, be a lukewarm Christian, because everything what my parents did, their sacrifice, I knew that there was more, and I knew that if I pray more, if I seek God more, there's more to know, and that God will bless me for that. went to South America before, so it was just like, oh my God, I don't speak Portuguese, I don't know anyone here, I just know my team, so I guess let's just go for it. And it was, there were times of struggle a lot. Like, I miss my country, I miss speaking Mongolian, I miss my food, you know, and only thing that kept me there was literally God. Like, I would read Bible and I would pray, and that was the thing that kept me in Brazil. And so while we were in Brazil, my team felt like God was activating the younger generation so much for younger generation, more than we could ever imagine. And specifically, like, generations that, it's a generation that's, and I believe that, like, each one of you who are, like, sitting here, I believe that God's going to raise you to be a holy generation, to pursue God's generation. And just like raising up a holy generation. And in Brazil, when I was in Brazil, I get to preach the gospel, I get to partner with God, whatever we, is really, really warm. And it's my first time being away from home. And back at home, it was minus 30 Celsius and 20 Fahrenheit. And it was my first time experiencing that kind of weather. And we would just sweat all the time. And the breeze, but it was, all of these things were, it was okay, because God deserves more, and I was just like, everything. And when I was in Brazil, I lost my phone. How do I call my mom? How do I tell them that I lost my phone? Like, I lost my card, and it was just all of this, like, struggles that, those times when I didn't have my phone, when I didn't have my card, and I'm just literally in a country that I don't even know a lot, and just, I'm all yours, I'm here for you, and I know that not having anyone talk to in Mongolian, regardless of all the struggles, I pursue you, because I know that it was an amazing time in Brazil. It was a time where I get to partner with people that I never saw before, something new. I'm going to a country and just starting something new that so that maybe more local people, just as like I did, and it was the best decision that I ever made. I'm 20, like. There's no such a thing as like I'm like losing time or whatever. I believe that like to know God, we got to just hang out with a bunch of young people and just go to a nation and pursue God. And I know that people are still telling me to go to college, but what do you want me to do? And God told me to. It was just like, whoa, okay, I'm gonna start everything all over again. And there were still some people who were telling me to know God a little bit more, then my foundation will be more firm, like that even if the storms would come, I would just stay still and knowing that God is God, and I would have this firm foundation to keep me for the rest of my life. And so I have decided to go back to Kona, Hawaii and staff. So if I'm gonna, and it was just praise God for all of it, and it's just incredible, because I don't think I would have imagined myself standing here preaching in front of you guys a year ago. I was just devastated by everything that was happening in this world, but one simple yes changing, and I know that you guys are all here to know God more, and I know that God is raising up a holy generation. If it weren't for your the missionaries who came to Mongolia in the first place, I would not be standing here today. If they didn't, I would not even be born. And it's just a simple yes, but the fruit of it is, like, it's so much that you can't even imagine. God wants us to pursue him with whole heart, just all of your heart. Pour to share another verse, and it's Matthew 22:37, and it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your everything that you got, with all of your gut. He's gonna respond to you. When we don't say yes, when we just live a life with half-hearted, the fulfillment of God, fulfillment of whatever God's wanting you to do. So I just believe that God and I want you to close your eyes, and I want you, have I given my whole heart commitment? Am I wholehearted with God? Ask yourself, God. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would come here and dwell within us. Holy Spirit, just answer our question, God. For your cross, thank you that you died on a cross because of us, God, that you wanted us to live a life full of fruit, full of life, full of joy, God. God, help us. We're weak. Our flesh is weak, God. Help us to pray, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can open your eyes. And while we were worshiping, I got this feeling, I got this vision or a word from God. Like, it's just so different. Because, like, you know, it's when you go to another church and Holy Spirit, like, I think it's a really big problem, might be in, like, a lot of things. But not from here, but from here. And I know that you guys worship from your heart. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, for our struggle is not against flesh of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So I believe that, and our battle is not from flesh, but it's spiritual. So I believe that, like, keep worshiping God, keep pursuing is real. Our God answers our prayer. Our God loves us so much. There's another picture that I would like to show as well. Ministry in Brazil was preaching the gospel to a village. to a remote village. All the people that we get to share the gospel, and they all came to church. And so this is a really new for us. There would be just like two or three Christians that would come every Sunday. And I thought that you guys came, like missionaries from Mongolia, from Netherlands, from Norway, from America. Their eyes were open, and we saw so many healings. We saw salvations. We saw people who would rededicate that. Like, all of these things are happening. It's real. Like, it's not, like, it happens. It's that Holy Spirit healings would, like, only happened back in, like, Old Testament. But it's like, it's real. God is real, and God can still heal you. God can still save you. And if we have a breath in our lungs, they're still heal you. God will do everything for you. And loved God so much. I want to remember as a girl from Mongolia who pursued God, who loved him so much. I know that there's still a lot to do, like a lot to overcome the obstacles. I go back home and fundraise again to go there and also just overcome. But the goodness of God, the faithfulness of him, everything that he did for all the seasons of my life, I know that he's going to provide till my last breath. And I want to give you an invitation. If you feel like you're living half out of any of the stories that I shared, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit if you would like to give your all yes to God, if you want to say yes to the Lord. It's never late, you know. It's never late. God's doing something special with each one of us. And I want you to come to the front. I want to bless you, because God deserves the best. He loves us so much, and he deserves everything that we do. God is the one, and no boyfriend, no idols, no other. We live in a time of, like, we're living, like, God, Jesus is coming soon, you know? All these crazy things that are happening in this world, all these, like, things we can find in Revelation, and it's happening. Like, it's real, and I believe that God is offering more. Oh, I'm leaving soon, and before I go, I wanted to evangelism with you guys. And of course, and we want to meet tomorrow at 2:30, evangelism, and we want to share the good news of God. And I feel like, so when I graduated my DTS, I had this thought, okay, is that it? But it's not. Like, whatever I go, it's a mission field. Whatever I go. So before I leave, I would really love to just even teach you guys how to share the gospel, like five-finger gospel. And but when you do it for God, it's really hard. So if you are free tomorrow around 2:30, come to the University of Alabama and share the gospel. And I want to do this fun evangelism with you guys. And maybe you guys, you know, there's still people who doesn't know about God. And I know that if we don't share the gospel, because he didn't die on the cross only for us, but he died for every single tribe, every single nation. Use our skill and just who we are to share the gospel. It's really easy, you know, when you do it. I want to pray for you guys and bless you. The Lord has carried me throughout my whole life. Thank you that you are the same God that's you. Pursue you, God. I pray that you would just show them who you are, God. I pray that in your prayer, God, because you are the one true living God. Every other things are idol, but you are one true living God. I pray that you would, with all of their mind and soul, God, I pray that you would meet them whatever they are, God. Just love you with wholeheartedly, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are above. You are more powerful, God. Thank you that you answered to our prayer. Thank you that you love us so much that they would feel you, God. They would feel the presence of you, and they would fall in love with you. So I bless and honor them. In Jesus' name, amen.
I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, there are people here who don't know Jesus and wish they were. I want you to step out and come. It's time to reach for you. It's time for you to reach for God. It's time for you to reach for Jesus. So I want to wait just a minute. So come. 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 Oh, there are more. Come. Hungry for Jesus. We all were. Quit ripping the back of that chair in front of you. Some of them want more hunger. There are others that need more hunger. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Not quite done. I can feel people wrestling still. It doesn't do any good. He always wins. God does. Sethna's going to go down and pray for some folks. Feel him at all pushing you, pulling you. You just go ahead. Seth, come back. Pray for these people. Pray for each one. I'm so glad she's a part of ours. It won't hurt you to slip a little money in any of these people's hands. Father, I pray for those that have come, that your hand would be upon them. Warriors, come. Pray for people. Father, we're so grateful. They come and they want you manifest their life. Holy. Oh.
is holy.
Thank you, Jesus. I love it when people are hungry. Members of the choir, members of the choir, come help us. So easy to lose our path.
Oh, good God. Thank you for visiting us today, Lord. Thank you for dwelling here with us. We love you guys. I've got to spend a lot of time with them since they've been here. And every time I thank you guys for that. We've got some stuff going on today, guys. If you were a giver to Daystar Family Church in 2023, it's at DFC Central. So if you gave from January to December in 2023, get your tax statement. Tomorrow's tax day, so get your tax statement to thank you for that. And we also have the baptism certificates at DFC Central. We have a signed, sealed, delivered baptism certificate for you at DFC Central that you can keep to remind yourself of the decision that you made that day. In our student center, we'd love to see you there. If you are 18 to 25 or 30 or whatever, if you want to come, just come. And we're having an PM. We have our youth ministry. So anybody in middle school or high school, you can bring them on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. And Pastor Vernadine will be in here teaching mysteries of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to know more about the Holy Spirit and you want to know about your spiritual gifts, come on Wednesdays. Pastor Vern is going to break it down and you're her. Also on Wednesday at 6, we have corporate prayer. So all of our prayer warriors, we pray for your soul and the Lord is moving. So if you want to be here on Wednesdays from 6 to 7 to pray and then from 7 to 8 for the word, please come. You can never. Bishop is taking our young ladies out to dinner on Mondays. He takes our young men. So please meet him at a Red Bull at 6 p.m. on Mondays if you're a young man, or on Fridays if you're a man. I'm just going to pray for you guys one more time, and then we're going to get out of here. But Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word. Bless the heart of a missionary, God, that we will look at our jobs and our families as a mission field for you, God, that we will look at Tuscaloosa as a mission field for you, God, and everybody in Tuscaloosa hears the gospel and knows exactly who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.